Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some fun.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 105. Of Weird.
105.
What am I, two country?
Yeah, 105. Wait, well, who's that?
Did you hear that?
105.
Oh, yeah, it's that guy.
Sean.
Hey, it's Sean.
Sean.
Sean had to come in today because little girl over here is sick.
Because it's Craig's birthday again for the second time this year.
No, it's not my birthday. I age twice as fast as anyone else.
Yeah, well, yeah, you look like it.
Anyway, so you are sicker than anybody I know.
I've got some bronchial issues. You sound like my wife now. You sound like Lori.
Darn it.
Well, you're sick all the time, and it's because you know. I think at your altitude that there's something with the moisture droplets in the air or something that causes it. There's something making you sick. People sneeze and it lands on your wee little head.
Someone that close to sea level.
Lori always complains that I'm sick all the time, but
darn it,
I can't help it.
All right, so
I don't get sick on purpose.
So,
but I appreciate our buddy Sean coming in to take some of the pressure off me because you provide so much pressure that only two people can take.
Someone has to keep this show on the road.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think it was Three Dog Night who once said, the show must go on.
It was, yeah. But others have too. You may remember Barnum.
They don't count anymore. They're out of business.
We need to get back on the road again.
We do. Are y'all ready to take it on the run? Get this show on the road? All right. From the makers of Spiders Will Eat Your Face comes, you know what it comes now? The Animal Saga. So
Saga. Most normal people would say Saga. Sega.
So we watched Spiders Will Eat Your Face. Hilarious. Funny little documentary. Now they've got two others that they've added to it, and they made a box set called The Animal Saga. So they got Spiders Will Eat Your Face. They got The Hamsters, The History. It's the history of hamsters as pets. Very interesting. And The Goldfish Bowl, which talks, about goldfish. Not the kind you eat.
I feel like when I'm on this show, I'm in a goldfish bowl.
So it's called Goldfish Bowl Death by Glass. So you need to check this out.
That basically sums up every fish I ever brought home.
You can get all this pet history on Amazon, and you can go
to... Did you say the Amazon?
I did not say the Amazon, but you can also go to Big Weasel, Lil Weasel... .club.
That's BIGWEASELLILWEASEL.club.
That's correct.
What was that?
That was BIGWEASELLILWEASEL.club.
Very good, Craig.
Big Weasel.
I'm good at recognizing my letters. I've gotten so much. Hooked on Phonics has been big.
It has been. And we also have a review. We've got a review from D.L. Considine. You want to read it?
Yeah, sure. I was just trying to figure out if you even pronounce that right. But anywho, this is a great podcast, but be cautious if listening while driving. Tears of laughter can blind you. Also the eclipse. Kangaroos, raccoons, and spiders eating your face. Oh my.
We got a story coming up about the eclipse issues too.
The eclipse was neat.
It was very cool.
And that was very cool.
As we discussed in episode 104, it was a lot of fun.
It's like waiting all year for something, and then it gets there, and then it's over so fast.
It's like the Christmas depression that arrives the day after Christmas.
Except you're depressed
kids.
With Christmas from the beginning.
I am. I'm
the
depressed
after
right
Thanksgiving.
Now.
Hey, after Thanksgiving.
You know what?
Thinking about
so speaking of voicemail.
Yeah.
Reviews.
Please.
We want voicemail reviews, but we got a voicemail this week.
Yes, we certainly did. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron and Craig, or as we say, Aaron and Craig here down under. It's Adam here from the Ace Podcast Network. Thought I'd give you guys a shout out. Love the show. You should definitely come on down to Australia. Dangerous animals are on the other side. So if you come over to this side in Perth or Western Australia, we can show you around. You can skip winter over there, soak up the sun over here, fly back for summer over there. And we don't really have Australian food. Just to answer your question, nothing I can think of. Kangaroo steaks, like you mentioned. We don't throw shrimp on the barbie. I wouldn't even know where to find a blooming onion, but absolutely, you should come on down. I'll try to find some Australian food for you, and yeah, love the show. Keep it up. Take care.
Okay, that right there, you know what that does for us?
Yeah.
We're bona fide.
We are bona fide.
We're bona fide.
Yeah.
Bona fide saga.
We're bona fide. If he can say saga.
Saga.
If he can say saga, I can say bona fide.
He's bona fide.
Did you notice that Adam invited us for the entire winter?
He invited us to, and you know what? What's funny is they could take shifts. As long as someone's just sitting there just talking in that accent, they can just take shifts.
Oh, yeah.
And come over and just talk.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They could be boring as could be, but they could just talk with that accent.
He said they don't throw a ship on the bobby, mate.
And he doesn't know where to get a blooming onion.
No, they're Outback.
Well, yeah, but they don't have Outbacks there.
Well, they should.
That's like going to Mexico looking for an El Chico.
Ooh, I love El Chico.
You figured you would.
I wonder if they got restaurants called The America.
Yeah, The America.
But if you want to leave us a voicemail, please go to www.weirdnewspodcast.com and just click the little voicemail button, talk right there into your computer. It's very simple.
Yeah, we appreciate him leaving us that voicemail.
If you guys go down, you need to travel in a fried out combi if you do that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
That sounds awesome.
I do expect a Vegemite sandwich.
Absolutely.
I don't.
Oh, really. He didn't say anything.
Don't give me one of those. Those are I'm sorry.
I've never had one.
I do not want to offend our friends.
He didn't mention Vegemite.
It smells so nasty.
He didn't mention it.
It's this pasty little jar of nasty.
Hey, we got stories.
Hey.
I mean, we got lots of stories here. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Top story.
Some patients treated for putting sunblock in their eyes during the eclipse.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You can't fix stupid.
Just in case, right?
You cannot fix stupid.
Just when you start to get a little, you know, we've got all the floods going on in Texas, and you see real Americans coming out and putting their force behind helping these people.
Did you see the guy that came all the way from Kentucky, like took all the channels or something in his boat?
Yes. Yeah.
Nuts.
I didn't. I had sunblock in my eyes.
Yeah, you couldn't see anything.
But anyway, just when I start
everything
feeling
had
better.
A beautiful soft focus, though, didn't it?
When I start feeling better about people, we get a story like this.
We do. Those experiencing blurred or impaired vision after watching the solar eclipse may want to see an eye doctor, you think? Nurse practitioner Trish Patterson, you know Bob Patterson's
TP.
Daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Old man Patterson's
told
girl.
Our sister station, KRCR, it usually, not our sister station.
No.
The person.
My sister doesn't have a station. Neither does Sean's.
As far as we know. Anyway, they told it takes 24 hours before people start noticing symptoms, including visual defects or blurriness. Pain is not expected because there aren't pain receptors in the retina, which explains how I can keep stabbing myself in the eye.
Stop it.
Patterson said they treat looking directly into the sun the same as a welder's flash. So far...
I saw some welder's flash. You remember that movie Splash Dance? Flash Dance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of welder's flash in that one.
Go ahead.
You're not allowed to talk anymore. So
she was a maniac.
So far...
She, on the floor.
So far...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are we just going to go down the whole 80s list here?
We could.
Man, that's why I'm here.
So far, she said they haven't had any patients with damage from looking at the eclipse, but they've noticed they've had a few customers experience pain after they put sunscreen in their eye Monday since they didn't have protective glasses. One of my colleagues at Moonlight here stated yesterday that he had patients presenting at their clinic.
Yeah,
it was like some kind of a show.
Yeah, they had the
grandpa
presenters.
Will help us build the sets, and you and Joey can help us paint them. Anyway, they were presenting at their clinic. They put sunscreen on their eyeball and presented that they were what's this presenting?
This is the way Patterson speaks.
That they were having pain and they were referred to an ophthalmologist. She said it only takes a few seconds of staring directly at the sun for retina damage. So Aaron's going to try this for us. Look out the window.
Yeah.
Stare for a few seconds.
There's no sun.
Are you? Dang it. I mean, darn it. She said it only takes a few seconds. Other signs to look out for are dark spots in the center of vision and cloudiness. Well, it's cloudy right
now. It is very cloudy. Maybe Absolutely. We should go to the doctor.
People experiencing those symptoms should get checked right away with a thorough eye exam using a slit lamp and visit an ophthalmologist. What's a slit lamp?
You know, it's, I don't know. I know about the slit experiment that they did with particles from quantum laboratories.
Okay, you're making all that up.
I'm not. No, you look that up. That's a very interesting, the slit test is a very interesting quantum physics test they did.
Whatever. This next story is making me hungry.
I failed quantum physics.
Did we mention that we're at an alternate studio because the road to Lee Berry Studios is flooded?
It's actually flooded. And we're not even in Texas.
No,
we had to pay somebody to flood the road.
We had to come to our alternate studio, which I'm actually much more comfortable here.
That's nice.
At the alternate studio.
A little cramped.
The staff is friendly. Yes.
Did you see the studio dog?
I did. That dog is huge. It's like a horse. It's huge.
Look at the size of that dog.
Headline is, he got into a fight with his mom over salsa. Well,
that actually seems like a legitimate argument.
It does, but this guy is living at home and he's 42, Craig.
Well, that's not. That's bad.
He's a big man.
He's like a wedding cake.
A 42-year-old Joliet resident is accused of trying to injure his mother during a heated confrontation on Monday.
So wait, so they actually, it was hot when they did it?
They had the heaters on in the house.
They had the heaters on when they did it.
Jeffrey Gromotsky from Timberline Drive was arrested on 3 misdemeanor charges, domestic battery, 2 counts of criminal damage to property, and 1 felony charge of domestic battery. And he also had a prior conviction. So jail logs showed that he was arrested in 2013 on felony charge of domestic battery again, Craig.
What a loser.
I'm telling you. Joliet's Deputy Police Chief Ed Gregory said that Monday's arrest incident occurred around 3:15 p.m. in the afternoon at the home of Timberline Drive when Wayne Gretzky. it's the Musinex talking at this
Wayne
point.
Wayne Gretzky rocks.
When Gromotsky
got in. No, Musinex will be the guy that talks like this.
Gromotsky got into an argument with his mother, who is age 64. She apparently had complained about him having food and salsa inside his room. This 42-year-old
should be complaining that he's living there.
Yeah. That he even has a room.
I've actually got a friend like this, and it's just
hey, don't talk about me like that.
He went crazy and started screaming at her. He pushed her several times in the shoulder and forced her out of his bedroom. At 42.
You know what we don't hear, the other half of the story?
What?
She's known for going in his room and eating all the salsa.
According to police,
he's had enough.
Things escalated from there. He pushed her into a wall.
They went upstairs?
Several times. He grabbed a TV and threw it down and broke it. He busted a television.
God, that's not right.
Ma, where's my chips?
He damaged a couch in the living room.
Oh, chips.
So, of course, the police were called. And once the officers arrived, they had to keep Gromotsky away from his mother. This guy needs help.
The only thing that would make the story better is as they were hauling him off, if she was like crunching down his chips and salsa while she was watching.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this next one.
Yeah.
This is just so funny. What is the header? You ready?
Yeah.
Man jailed after asking judge, who are you to tell me what to do?
He's the judge, for Pete's sake.
Jordan Willis will spend 2 weeks behind bars after Judge Simon James refused to accept his apology for the angry tirade at Canterbury Crown Court. Oh, no.
Canterbury.
The 22-year-old called the judge a bad word when he appeared in the dock for an unrelated matter before starting a tussle with security.
So this must be near
there. That's actually a 60s dance craze, the tussle.
Yeah, and this judge, this court must be near the river or a lake, because they're having it on the dock there.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
When Judge James, you know Judge James.
Sure, I got all his albums.
Asked the defendant not to use obscene language, Willis replied, "Who are you to tell me what to do?"
That'll do it. You tell that to any judge in America.
Will's from Dover, Kent. I think actually this is probably, this looks like this might be in England.
Oh, it may be. Yeah.
It's like
Canterbury.
Well, who are you to tell me what to do?
Up there in your little frosted wig.
You got your little wig on.
Is that the powdered wig, is
it? What you going to tell me to do?
I swear if I want to.
You're not the boss of me.
It's a free country.
What was that? That was Southern English.
Yeah.
After the outburst, he was removed from the court, but tried to burst back into a room to shout, I love you, to his girlfriend.
And the judge said, well, why are you talking to me that way then?
Yeah, really. What you show me now and then. His lawyer, James Ross, said Wills had
misunderstood. Is everybody named James over there?
Yeah. Had misunderstood what was happening in court and allowed his emotions to take over, adding that it tipped him over the edge.
Yeah, it did. It was the powdered wig, I saw.
Judge James said, your conduct was wholly unjustified and completely unacceptable.
Unacceptable. I'll say. I'm just
Sean
amazed.
Popping up from the dark over here.
Everybody Thank over you. In Dover must be named James. A lot of James in that. In that story. Guess who's back?
The toilet?
The mystery pooper.
Oh, no.
Mystery pooper strikes again.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids and their dog.
A Crestview jewelry store is using social media to find the unidentified man who defecated behind their shop in broad daylight Tuesday.
That happens all the time in metropolitan areas.
It really does. The result of the perp's actions were discovered by Joey the jeweler.
Oh, yeah. Joey the jeweler.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Joey. You know, you're looking for a watch or something? Come by Joey the jeweler's.
He nearly stepped in the evidence when going out back to her vehicle. That's disgusting. And Joey the jeweler is a female, by the way.
Yeah, well, she sounds like that.
Hey, Joey. A review of the store's exterior security video shows a shirtless bearded man
named Joey,
whom the store's Facebook followers promptly labeled Crapper Man. He is clearly seen dropping his bridges.
And more than that.
And doing his business between two vehicles parked in the alley on Tuesday. That's just nasty. store owner Forrest Joey Tinklepaw stated on a Facebook post in which he shared the security video.
But there's so much irony happening right now.
People have no respect for others anymore. Though the responding Crestview police officer canvassed the Main Street business district, no one matching the man was found from the video. Police are still actively looking for the suspect. Maybe
they couldn't get DNA like they did on the last guy?
They should follow their nose.
It always knows.
Incidents like these have a negative effect on the quality of life in our community, Police Chief Tony Taylor said.
OTT.
It's just downright shameful when people don't give a crap about their town. It really stinks.
He's so funny.
He is.
Whoa, what just happened?
The symbol went up.
And the guy just got really excited with the symbol. Hey, this is a Memphis, Tennessee story.
Oh, it's local. I got a local theme. You ready?
Well, I wouldn't say local.
Darn it.
There you go.
Woman blames ADHD after allegedly setting Walmart clothes on fire.
That'll do it.
A 27-year-old Bartlett woman is facing aggravated arson charges after she was detained at a local Walmart store for allegedly setting clothes on fire. She's probably doing people a favor. The incident happened at the location.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, Walmart didn't always have the best clothes.
They don't always have the worst clothes.
Well, that's true.
Okay. Everybody admit
it. You take that back.
I bought jeans from Walmart.
Okay. I buy stuff from
them. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. I take it back. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The incident happened at the location at 3900 block of Austin Peay Highway early Thursday morning. According to police records, an employee noticed smoke coming from the clothing section, again, Walmart, and went to investigate. She immediately ran to get a coworker to act as a witness. That employee told police she too saw Cagle setting a smock on fire, which ignited a larger fire.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Smock on fire. The pair called for help and began evacuating the building before detaining the suspect with the help of several other witnesses, police said. When questioned, the subject at first told police she didn't mean to set the clothes on fire.
It was an accident.
She blamed her ADHD, saying she needed a lighter and a fidget spinner to stay busy.
Good night.
She then reportedly changed her story and said another man in the clothing section had set the clothes on fire. The lighter and several illegal drugs were found in her possession.
Mm. So she's not only ADHD, she's also a liar. And she can't get her story straight.
Right.
Okay, headline is, woman finds live frog in packaged salad. You know what she does?
In what?
In a packaged salad.
I thought you said a packaged of salad.
Packaged salad. And she keeps it as a pet.
He was alive, huh?
He was alive. And you got to think, that speaks a lot for a fresh salad. If you get a package of salad and there's a live frog in it, that thing was recently.
We need dramatic music for my story here.
Darn it.
So, no, you really got to get more than that.
Oh,
but
that
reminds me of a story. I found a lizard last week in the dog's water bucket outside.
Was it swimming?
No.
Did the dog say there's something in my soup?
He was trying to. I was trying to, like, squeeze the water out of his chest. The water was coming out of his mouth, but I couldn't get him to come back to life. He was dead, and that was really sad.
That is sad.
Pretty little lizard.
Did you pull his tail off?
No, I popped him in my mouth and ate him. But before that, I felt really bad because he had died.
That's sad.
That's a sad story. So anyway, this package salad.
Lucky the Frog is aptly named, for he was just one fork stab away from becoming a California woman's meal when she spotted him, revived him, and adopted him as a pet. This all happened on August the 24th. Becky Garfinkel found her new pet, barely alive, in a large box of lettuce mix she had purchased from a local Target in Corona, California.
She was subsequently arrested for possession of an illegal frog.
It was really, really weird, though, because when she got him out of the package and put him on the table, and he started going, "Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. Hello, right my lost now.
Sammy, I catch my wife."
As I'm pulling to go stab another bite, she said.
He wouldn't do that when everybody else walked around, though.
No, he didn't.
He just stopped.
Crickets. So she said, as I'm pulling to go stab another bite, I see a frog sitting in my salad after I've eaten almost the entire.
Did you have a wee little banjo going?
Hello, my darling.
Yeah, the rainbow connection.
So she completely freaked out and screamed. I threw up afterwards because I was traumatized. What if there were like seven frogs in there?
What if he'd been like a poison dart frog?
Oh, that'd be even worse. Yes. Miss Garfinkel quickly took the little frog out and noticed that he was barely alive. Her husband then performed chest compressions to revive him, and the couple decided to adopt the little frog as a pet. So the Garfinkels used an old aquarium they have where they used to keep a lizard. Maybe it's the same one you were telling us about that was in your soup.
They should have named him Simon. Then it could have been Simon and Garfinkels.
That would have been awesome. I would have been a big fan of those pets.
And he could have had a wee little wig on his head that looked like
so they named him
Art
Lucky.
Garfunkel.
Miss Garfinkel also took to Target's Facebook page to complain about the incident. Target,
So she gets a free prize.
Right. Yes,
gets a,
really.
She gets got a best, friend for life.
That's the best prize of any packaged prize
Target
ever.
Target should have said they
should have said congratulations.
They should have said we should have barcoded him.
Target, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, she writes. Yes, that's a frog. A live frog from my spring mix I got from your store yesterday. I discovered, poor little thing has been in the fridge for 40 hours.
Oh, that's terrible.
He wasn't barely alive. He was just frozen.
He's cold blooded.
I discovered him after eating almost my entire salad, and I almost stabbed him. That's the worst thing for me, because I'm a very strict vegetarian, and due to meat allergies, I've never eaten. She never touches meat.
She shouldn't be buying her salad ingredients from the pet section anyway.
Absolutely.
Probably not a good idea, and she was actually at Petco.
So Target's aware, and they're working directly with the guest. Additionally, our vendor...
But we already know that Target doesn't care.
Target doesn't. Yeah.
They don't care about anything.
All right, so next story. We'll go from a frog to a mermaid.
All right, a mermaid, quote-unquote,
yeah,
told a man to drive his car straight into the sea.
Into the sea.
Into the sea, man. 36-year-old Lim.
Oh, great. I love it.
36-year-old Lim Pinjing has been accused of endangering the personal safety of others after he drove his car into the sea at Ocean Drive off Sentosa Cove last Friday.
So this, not it wasn't a mermaid. It was a mermaid.
A mermaid. A mermaid, I come drive to you.
This mermaid come on me, she say, under the sea, drive to it.
Okay, can I go now?
Yeah, go ahead.
In a truly bizarre incident, Lim was seen crashing through the safety barricades and plunging into the water while he was hotly pursued by Sentosa Rangers on motorbikes. That sounds cool.
That does.
I want to be one of those.
Sounds like a movie.
It was
Sentosa Rangers.
It was unclear why Lim was being chased. In the traffic altercation that ensued, one ranger, Erman Cameroon, suffered a cut to his right knee. As for Lim, his car had sunk on the bottom with him trapped in it.
Oh.
He was only rescued when a super yacht captain, Dave Roberts.
Super Yacht Captain Dave Roberts.
Sentosa Rangers and Super Yachts in the super same yacht. Story.
This has got to be a captain. Movie.
It's like Super Dave. Super David Roberts, who happened to be nearby, jumped in the water to pull Lim out of his car. Roberts managed to loosen the man's seatbelt through a small opening underwater, but could not open the doors. He resurfaced and got a rock from a bystander.
Just happened to have a rock.
Hey, buddy, I got this rock.
Hey, who's got that? A rock?
Using it to break through the window to pull Lim out. An eyewitness told the Chinese Daily that Lim spoke repeatedly of dying and said that
a mermaid
told him to plunge into the sea.
Plunge into the sea.
Here's the question. How did the mermaid tell him this if the mermaid's in the sea and he's on the road?
Well, maybe she had gotten her legs, you know, like Ariel. And she just kept walking.
Did you ever? Did I tell you a story about how I ruined Little Mermaid for my daughter who loves all Disney movies?
I think you did. Yeah.
The thing is that early on in Little Mermaid, they established the fact that Ariel knows how to read and write.
Oh, that's true.
So when she gets on the boat and she can't talk, why did she just write down what was wrong so he would know?
Such a good point.
She wouldn't have to go through all the trouble.
Darn it!
Such a good point.
So your daughter hates you now?
No, she did anyway.
Okay.
That didn't do it. Headline is, nuns, quote unquote, attempt to rob a bank in Pocono Township. You know, the church,
that's another fun word to say.
Pocono Township.
Pocono, no, just Pocono. Pocono.
This is a podcast. Why does anybody listen to us? Why?
Because I'm adorable.
But this comes to us from Pocono Township. Two Hispanic women dressed up as nuns are accused of attempting to rob a bank in Pocono Township on Monday.
Pocono.
Police say the women walked into the Citizens Bank on Route 611 around 12:20 p.m. with a gun and demanded money.
Money.
Don't carry guns. It was a gun nun.
It was a gun nun. You figured it out. You busted the case wide open.
Both are dressed as nuns, and one was armed with a handgun, according to police. A detective with Pocono Township Police Department says something spooked the women, and they ran away without getting any money. The Pope. There was a picture of the Pope on the wall.
Ah! He's watching!
Investigators believe the alleged crooks may have thought the teller pressed the panic alarm in the bank.
Oh, senor, we would have gotten away with it, too, if it would not have been for you meddling kids and your dog.
Sorry, just keep bringing that up.
That's okay.
Pocono. That's Pennsylvania, by the way.
Potential client stole logger's $900 tree frog.
Oh, it's the frog.
It was in the salad.
We've got a frog episode going.
We do.
Darn it.
That sounds just like she said ribbit. Do that again.
Ribbit. Darn it.
A South African tree frog given to a Nassau County lawyer in lieu of a fee 22 years ago has gone missing. So he's in a bag of salad.
Word start getting around. You got no money? Just go collect frogs. Yeah, there's a lawyer that takes them for payment.
Check out. Check Target.
And a potential client has been charged with stealing it. Police and the attorney said Friday. Fernando Castro, 33, of North Long Beach, was charged with petty larceny. It was just
Fernando.
They really didn't have to bring it up. They just wanted to. They're being very petty about it.
It's my favorite ABBA song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
ABBA joke.
Actually, it's not my favorite ABBA song.
Pocono, ABBA, no.
I think Dancing Queen. No, Waterloo.
SOS. Waterloo's good.
Waterloo's my favorite.
I don't care for Waterloo at all.
Why? Because you lost the war?
I know there's something going on. I'm sorry. That was Frida later. Anyway, he was charged with petty larceny, a misdemeanor, on Thursday. It's not a misdemeanor on any other day of the week.
Right. Mr. Meaner.
He's Wednesday. Married to
you're not keeping up with me, are you?
He's married to Mrs. Meaner.
Wednesday, yes. It would have been a felony. So
he okay. Sean's keeping up with me. He was in a he was arraigned Friday in First District Court in Hampstead, and the district attorney's office said the judge set the bail at $500. Castro was represented by the Legal Aid Society, which does not comment on cases. Court papers.
That's just a strange line. I'm sorry.
It really is. The Legal Aid Society, they don't comment on cases.
Yeah, they don't comment on them.
No.
Court papers. We all just had a moment.
So what do they
we
have
all
to
just momentarily got silent and thought about that for a
what
minute.
What do they have to say about it?
Nothing. I got nothing to say about
they
it.
They can't comment.
Court papers say Castro admitted stealing the frog and taking it to the office of another lawyer he had retained. Once there, he gave the frog to office staff as a gift for the lawyer, court papers said.
He's from out of town. He says, the lawyers here love frogs. I'm going to take this one to my
Oh, and have a nice salad with it, by the way.
I brought you a salad. According to Thomas Leote of East Garden City, the lawyer owned the frog, said that the staff of the other lawyer released the frog into a creek.
How sad.
Castro had made an appointment with Leote because he was considering switching attorneys, according to his statement to police. When he arrived, no one was nearby, and he decided to take the frog and the glass fish bowl it lived in.
I figured it out. I know what happened. So he had this attorney, and he got attached to this frog while meeting with this attorney, and he thought it was his lucky frog. So he decided to switch attorneys, but he wasn't going to switch attorneys without that frog. So he stole the frog.
I think you're kind of as a stretch.
No, that's not it.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Can I finish? Get to the bottom of this?
Please.
He took the frog to his car and returned to the office where he met with Ray Leote, court paper said.
I'm doing a movie.
He went, you think I'm funny? Sorry, wrong guy. He then went to the other lawyer's office and gave the staff there the frog, which was intended as a gift to replace a fish that had died, court paper said. Leote said the frog, valued at about $900, was named Owen.
Oh, poor Owen.
After the client who gave it to him and had been a fixture in the outer office for more than two decades. It's an old frog.
Yeah.
When Leote's staff realized the frog was missing, they checked the surveillance video and saw Castro leaving the
Where's
building.
Where's Owen?
You know how they saw Castro leaving? Because he had that cigar and that little hat on he always wore.
Yeah.
And they saw him anyway. The lawyer said he called Castro, but reached his girlfriend, who told him Castro had taken the frog and given it to the other lawyer.
Leote
said he called the other lawyer, only find out the office staff there had released the frog into the creek, which is across the street from their office. So I see this vision of that lawyer like splashing around, Owen!
Yeah, and poor Owen's probably in the snake's belly about now.
Yeah, he didn't survive.
No, he's used to living in the lawyer's office, the law office of Bart. No, I'm not going to say it. No advertising here. Headline is armed men accused of holding up a bar. Craig, if you're ever going to rob a place,
you got to have arms.
You got to have arms. You're going to rob a bar, but don't do it where cops are celebrating
That's
a retirement.
That's probably the worst place.
As officers are celebrating a longtime sergeant's retirement in the main room of Monahan's Pub on Gwyn Oak Avenue, two masked men approached the carryout counter nearby at 5:30 p.m., police said. Monahan's owner, Jack Maloney, said that men demanded cash from the register, and then they took off. They got the cash, and they took off.
They're gone.
Some of the off-duty officers attending the retirement party gave chase and arrested the two men nearby. Police charged Joseph McInnes III, old Joe, always getting in trouble.
Joey 3 is what they call him.
Yeah,
old Joseph McInnes II.
21-year-old. And Terry McCoy. Oh, if you get the combination of Joey and Tyree together, you're in trouble. They're going to rob something. Yeah. So they were charged with armed robbery, theft, and related offenses, the department spokesman said. Maloney said he was surprised that someone would commit a robbery at this business, which is just across from a precinct station. Precinct. Yeah. 70% anyway. From a precinct station. Dad did it again. What is wrong with it? It's the cough syrup talking at this point.
What was it last week?
During shift changes, he said, there are a lot of squad cars coming and going into the station, and many of the officers are regular customers of Moynihan's. It's kind of odd that you would even attempt it, Milani said. Officers are always there. There's a decent amount of them around at all times.
You know what I love about Moynihan's, by the way?
What?
The name changes every time.
It does. Monaghan's, Moynihan's.
It's Moynihan's, for crying out loud.
One night it's called Monocles. You can only wear one little
monocle. Y'all leave me alone. I don't feel good.
Monaghan's.
I'm leaving. Sean, you got my part.
Out of control elderly couple fined for hotel rampage.
I love a good out of control elderly couple story.
Robert Fergus, or Fergie to his friends, Bob. 72. Yeah, Bob Fergie, 72, ran naked with a pair of scissors.
72.
Hold on a second.
Running with a pair of scissors.
Bob Fergus says,
definitely old enough to know better.
He tells the world, look, I will not cop to your rules. I'm not going to play along with your games. If I want to run naked with a pair of scissors through like a hotel or something, I'm going
right.
to do it. Fergie, that's how he rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets worse.
He ran naked with a pair of scissors in a public reception of the McDonald Lock Runnock Hotel and smashed a glass pane.
What a pain in the glass.
His wife, Ruth, 69,
oh, no.
threatened to shoot a staff member after reacting badly to the alcohol she consumed earlier.
Yes.
The couple were fined 4,100 pounds at a Perth Sheriff's
Court. That's pretty heavy fine.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I don't know how they lift it.
Yeah. That's know, a lot.
Money,
you have to have
a crane. We've said this before. Their money is so heavy.
I know it is.
Imagine a wallet with 100 pounds in it.
And it's sterling, too, by the way.
It's very nice. It's very nice.
It's very nice.
Mr. Fergus from Troon was also ordered to pay the hotel £800 compensation to cover the cost of the damage from the incident on 4 February. I could have said February 4th, but I'll let it say 4 February.
4 February.
This is an old story, man.
He had admitted behaving in a threatening and abusive manner towards 4 staff members, willfully destroying property and drink driving.
They call drink, it driving.
Drink driving.
Drink driving. Drink driving.
That's when you're toting around the sodas in the back seat.
I like drink driving.
I'm driving drink, right? Headline is, one day after solar eclipse, thousands experience eye problems.
I can't read this.
It's because Doofus over here was staring at the sun.
One day after the eclipse, some Coloradians are feeling the burn. Oh, that explains
it. Oh, I get that joke.
They're like, they're like,
I see what they did there.
We don't need no stinking glasses. We just watched the sun.
Oh, he doesn't see what they did there. See what he did?
Optometrist.
I see what he saw there.
An ophthalmologist across from Denver metro area are seeing a surge in patients complaining of eye discomfort caused by the eclipse. For many weeks, residents have been warned to wear special glasses when viewing the solar spectacle. Now, many of these residents are spending time in the doctor's office. Josh Sparks says Monday's eclipse was the event of a lifetime. You know, a lot of people got very super excited about this eclipse. Yeah. And it was beautiful, I have to admit.
And I was kind of disappointed the aliens didn't take us away right after.
Did they not? They brought me back. But well, but I was. It was a fun trip, though.
You're what we might call an irregular.
Says here, Rufus said, these are my special glasses, man.
Tom Mustin from CBS4 in Colorado said, it was a mind-altering experience. No, that's just being around in Colorado. Your mind does get altered.
Like I said.
Like thousands of Coloradians, Josh drove to Wyoming to experience the eclipse firsthand. He wore protective glasses, but removed them briefly to take a series of photographs. Now he's paying for it. After the eclipse was over, oh, you know what? He probably had a SLR camera, and the lens worked as a magnifying glass to his eye. Probably burned his camera up, too. After the eclipse was over, I started feeling like I had stared at the sun.
Then my camera burst into flames.
You know why? You stared at the sun. When I went to bed last night, I woke up and had some eye swelling and also some pain in my eyes. I thought I'd better get into the eye doctor. Like thousands of Coloradians, Josh drove to Wyoming to experience the eclipse firsthand. I'm for some reason, the same story is repeated here.
It goes on a while. What we really need to know is one day after the solar eclipse, lots of idiots have eye problems.
Right.
One guy's got an eye problem. End of story.
That's it. And it was in Colorado.
I don't even know why. Who picked this story?
They were all token on a big one.
You know what?
They were burning down the big
chief. Can I just go to something that we really can appreciate?
Yeah.
Financial crime of some sort.
Financial crime?
Financial crime.
It was accidental.
Accidental financial crime.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yes. No.
Something.
Pocono.
Oh!
Pocono, Winnipeg, Pocono, Pocono,
Pocono, Pocono, Pocono,
Pocono, Ramsey.
Oh,
That's a flashback.
Student accidentally given $1 million in financial aid, spends thousands. He wasn't trying hard enough.
No, he was not. They must have caught him too quick, or her.
I could have gone to Best Buy and spent most of that.
Absolutely.
A university student in South Africa who discovered an erroneous deposit. I like that word.
Erroneous?
Or deposit?
No, Pocono.
Oh.
Of $1 million in her financial aid account, spent more than $60,000 of the fortune before authorities realized the mistake, school officials said. The oversight occurred at Walter Sisulu University in Eastern Cape Province when a massive over-allocation of funds was accidentally loaded onto the student's financial aid debit card. The money, which was supposed to be a $100 stipend for food and books, was
$100.
Just a couple zeros off.
Yeah,
just
quite a few.
Was immediately available to the student, according to an Illuminati. I'm just kidding. It said Intellimali. I just like it. Looks more like Illuminati.
It does.
I think that's what it was. The company responsible for issuing the student cards. Four extra zeros were added to the direct deposit.
How funny. She said, I think I'll go shopping. I've got lots of lots.
People break. Their brains, something's up with people.
Well, if you look
at... Do you remember when the food stamp system went haywire?
Yes.
And all those idiots were running through Walmart knowing that they were stealing from the food stamp program. And they were loading their carts up because, and shame on Walmart for allowing it because they knew what they were doing.
Well, you got to imagine that the checkers were probably 16, 17-year-olds who didn't know any better when it was going down.
Why are you defending them, man?
My daughter works there.
Your daughter's lookalike works there.
That's exactly right.
Have you been to Walmart?
Looks just like Sarah.
In the undisclosed Walmart, we will not discuss where it is, but there's a Walmart nearby, and there's a lady that works there. I walked by probably three times waiting for her to look my way to see for sure if that was his daughter.
Looks just like her.
No way.
No, even talking, to me.
Yeah, we're talking spooky. Like, yeah. Have you got them in the room together?
No.
Then how do we know they're not the same person?
Oh, that's a good point.
That's weird.
It's like Mick Jagger and like Davy Jones from the Monkees. You never saw them in the same room together.
Mick
Jagger could be Davy Jones.
Mick Jagger was seen at Pocono late recently.
Huh?
Pocono. Davy Jones. Ghost of Davy Jones.
Davy Jones's locker.
You know, I met Davy Jones one time. I'm not a big name dropper here. You can ask Kevin
Cronin.
Well,
you guys are on the same level.
Every time. And you can ask Michael Lohan or anybody, and they'll
tell
you.
I
don't drop.
He's very modest. Just ask him.
But I enjoyed talking to Davy Jones so much because he's about a foot shorter than me. And I was
he was about a foot shorter.
Well, now he's about 6 foot shorter than me.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, that's not
too
cool.
Too soon.
That's not cool because we love the Monkees.
Don't we, Shane? The Monkees.
Oh, I love the Monkees.
Don't we, Shane?
Yeah, Greg.
Greg. Did you hear that newest album?
Yes, I did.
And if we're talking.
Andy Partridge.
Yes, Andy Partridge and Rivers Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo.
If we're talking new albums, I want to drop Styx's name right here because The Mission, their new album, is their best album.
Okay, but that's a fake.
Without a doubt.
That's like fake news. That's a fake band, okay? You got Tommy Shaw. That's it.
James Young.
Yeah, he never counted.
And Chuck
Palahniuk.
I'll bring the summer. Great. You may have sent me that first.
Hey, are we in the middle of a story?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. So anyway, back to this chick that stole the money. University officials were alerted to the mistake by another WSU student who noticed the young woman's newly found spending habits. Mr. Nosy? If he would have just been quiet, she would have probably bought him something.
I bought you a frog. It's a tree frog.
A frog salad.
Several local media outlets identified the student through social media, creating an uproar throughout WSU student community. In compliance with the South African law, university officials declined to release the student's personal details, but they don't comment on stuff either, but have confirmed she is not responding to media inquiries and has made no official statement at this time, except please don't lock me away.
Look, I gave the money back, okay?
I gave most of it back.
All right, I'm turning this last story of mine over to Sean because my throat hurts. Take it, Sean.
Does your face hurt? It's killing me.
Oh, make sure you say headline is because that's what I do.
Headline is cycling.
Do it in your best Aaron voice.
Headline is sorry for the token attractive woman caption. No, that's not
Now
right.
You have to say it in a way people understand. Okay.
Headline is Cycling Weekly. Sorry for token attractive woman caption.
That's funny.
Token attractive woman.
Yeah, Reed, you'll understand it.
No, I understand.
Yeah. No, you don't.
I just think it's funny people complain about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. A leading cycling magazine has apologized after a female rider was labeled token attractive woman.
That was it. That was in the little subcaption under it.
That's awesome.
Token
attractive woman right here. Cycling Weekly's edition from 31 August featured a profile of Hinkley Cycling Racing Club to mark the Lincolnshire Group's 70th anniversary.
Oh, I love that stuff on my steak.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. Worcestershire, Lincolnshire. They make this great sauce.
Leicestershire.
Nice.
Oh.
We should have asked Greg.
Greg. Thanks, Greg.
Sure, no problem.
Club Secretary Tim Ellershaw said they were annoyed and the comment should never have been made in the first place.
What, Leicestershire?
Duh.
Pocono.
Yes.
The studio dog is over here bugging the heck out of him while he's reading the story.
I'm scratching his chin right now as I'm doing this.
No, that's Craig.
That's actually my chin.
Oh, sorry about that. No wonder it's got this drool all over my hand. The magazine had accepted that the caption was idiotic and funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hannah Noel, or Hannah Noel.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Hannah Noel?
Yeah. Hannah Noel.
Noel.
Oh, wait.
Pocono.
Aaron hates Christmas.
I do not like Christmas.
The cyclist in the picture said on Facebook, "I made it into Cycling Weekly. It seems not for my ability as a female cyclist, but as a token attractive woman."
Oh, wait, come on now.
How much ability do you have? Okay, I'm going to make people mad now.
Yeah.
Here we go. How much ability do you have to pedal?
Really?
Man.
On the busy highways we're trying to drive by?
I know you have to have... You know, endurance, because it's really hard to do. I'm not saying the part is not hard to do.
Right.
I'm angry.
But it's easy to annoy people who are driving cars
on the
road.
I'm angry with Hannah Noel because this is a non-issue. This should not even be in the news.
That's what I said before we started reading
it. It's ridiculous. And she got offended that they put token attractive woman under. Had that happened to Lori,
darn it,
she would have laughed and laughed and laughed.
Is he the same guy that just said you're reading the story because he can't talk anymore?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He keeps talking.
Darn it.
Stupid idiot.
In response to a comment about her looking fabulous, she said,
Photoshop can make anybody look
she
fabulous.
She looked marvelous.
It's not really the reason I'd want to be in the magazine. It's sexist and derogatory.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Yeah, what's wrong with being sexy?
She needs to get
sexist.
Over herself.
And
I looked at the picture, by the way. She's not that attractive to start with. So she should be thrilled. I would have had this framed had I been her. Yeah. I said, look at this.
I personally am not much of a cyclist as far as bicycles. I would probably make it into a magazine as token attractive woman before being a cyclist.
Yeah, you probably would. Same here.
That's how
what
bad
he just said hurt my head.
We used to ride bikes. But I was like 7.
Yeah.
We had
no option.
Hey, you know what? This is random and all for our listener, but we should blow off this podcast now and go get food.
Are you hungry?
I'm hungry.
But we got one more story. This is revisiting.
No top 10.
Why did you see? That's why he's not allowed in the studio.
Two times I'm here. There's no top 10.
Okay, I'm gonna start. Do it. I can't clap. Clap impaired. Okay. Hey, you know what? We should just, no offense to our listener, we should blow this off and go get food. I'm hungry.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I'm hungry too.
Because normally people get hungry after they've not eaten for a while.
But we've got one more story.
Okay, let's do it. Hey, you know what? This story, actually, this is very familiar to this show.
Oh, we're going a little bit. We're going back. Should I play the...
Darn it.
No, but you had a really great clown theme at one time.
I used to, but the clown stopped showing up.
And here's the thing.
I've got the Russian theme.
No.
There is a rabbit with a pin kick on his
head. Okay, stop. You're not allowed the soundboard anymore.
I thought you said it was good.
Your homework this week is to get some decent soundboard quality material.
Why are you yelling at me? If I needed to be yelled at, I could just stay at home with Lori.
That is true. Has she texted you yet in the middle of recording?
No, but Dr. Brooks did.
America's clowns say the new film, It, is costing them money. Well, yeah, duh. You have to buy a ticket if you're going to go see it.
It's going to cost me money, too.
I mean, come on. I'm going to go see it. I am too.
I'm so excited. Looking. How are they going to fit that book into an hour and a half movie, though?
Hollywood.
Oh, no. I can answer this.
Okay.
Can you really? I know computers. Yeah. Compression. It's the same way they fit a whole album on a DVD.
You get to bar stereo.
I'm feeling compressed just sitting here.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
The World Clown Association. Yeah, like that's right.
Are you part of that?
That's actually a real thing. Has already had to deal with the bad press of last year's worldwide epidemic of killer clown sightings. I love killer clowns from outer space.
Where did they go? Did they go back to space? By the way, weren't you in?
At the end of the movie, they went back to...
Weren't you in the movie? I mean, you were connected to killer clowns.
No, I went to a local Blockbuster. They had the suits traveling around the world.
Oh, yeah. And that's what it was.
And I missed them when they were doing it, but the guy let me go in the back, and I got to take the... killer clown head out of the case and get to play with it. So there's pictures of me. Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, go
anyway,
ahead.
But now they have a bigger problem. The forthcoming Blockbuster adaptation of Stephen King's It. Somebody named Moody also revealed that the professional clown business had taken a hit since last year's clown sightings, with performers regularly having booked shows and appearances canceled.
Yeah, nobody wants a crazy clown at their party anymore.
She also referenced an incident in which a professional clown was waiting in her car ahead of performing at a child's birthday party when she was suddenly surrounded by police officers who had been alerted to a creepy clown sighting
this poor guy.
By a concerned neighbor. They could hang out near Congress and do that.
Oh,
wow.
They should, anyway, actually.
Did I ever tell you my, well, absolutely. There are very few things that probably just thinking about them make me want to just laugh and cry so much. But that Walmart commercial where the clown guy comes out of his kid's party and he goes, everybody want a party? And he slams his foot down right on top of the unicorn.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
That's old.
It is so good.
It is very good,
and I
yes.
still to this day am. You got, Sean, homework. Look that up.
Okay.
Listen.
Right now?
Homework. Look that up. No?
No, not right,
not
now.
Right now. As a result, okay, ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Been ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
As a result of the unfolding downturn, the World Clown Association, I call it the WCA, has released a helpful guide for its members on how to survive the clown recession titled It actually is WCA.
I told
Stand
you.
On Scary Clowns. I was going to say scary clowns.
Scary. You know, all clowns are scary.
We believe the art of clown is something to be treasured and enjoyed by audiences worldwide, the guide reads. We bring happy, joyful, creative, caring, positive, and fun experiences to our audiences. We understand that some people enjoy the horror genre of entertainment, but we find that many people are confronted by images of horror characters impersonating clowns and are startled by them, which is obviously the goal of these horror characters. In my opinion, these horror characters are not clowns.
I didn't know you did a Barney impression.
That was pretty
just,
good.
What I just did, but it wasn't me.
Ba, ba, ba.
What was that?
Ba, ba, ba.
Okay, we got through that whole thing. Pam Moody, who should have been mentioned at the beginning of the story, World Clown Association president, told Hollywood Reporter that the chronic fear of clowns is unfair, at least in comparison to fellow costume performers who dress as Father Christmas or Easter Bunny. Now, there's some creepy Easter bunnies, too.
Father Christmas.
Yeah.
Give us some money.
They're different from regular people. They're costume characters, she insists, but no one is picking on the Santa Clauses. Yeah, they are, the drunk Santas, because
yeah,
that would
true.
Ruin the retail business. It would ruin Christmas for everyone. Well, it was ruined for Aaron a long time ago.
I can't stand it.
It all started with the original It that introduced the concept of this character. It's a science fiction character. It's not a clown. It has nothing to do with pro-clowning.
It is a clown.
It is a clown.
The history of Pennywise the clown goes way back.
And here's the thing. Clowns go way back, and they were creepy as crud.
Always been.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Always been creepy.
What the heck?
You know what time it is?
Is this Freestyle Top 10?
It is. So
it's the Mark Patch Freestyle Top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10 favorite movies from the Two Dudes Studio. Number 10, Craig.
I don't know what we're doing.
Okay, each of us are going to pick our three favorite movies of all time. So it's actually going to be
nine.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
But these aren't really in order.
That's okay. Don't have to be.
One of my all-time favorite movies. Jaws.
Really?
It was just added to Netflix, too.
Okay. Sean, favorite movie?
War Games.
I love War Games.
That's my go-to. I have to be reminded of the 80s movie.
One of my top three favorite movies of all time, Raising Arizona.
That's a great one.
By the Coen brothers.
I got to say Back to the Future.
Really?
I'm sticking with the big A-listers here.
Okay, that's a good movie. A good series.
I love the series.
Yeah, series. Right. I'm going to say the Indiana Jones series.
That's another good one.
With the exception of the Crystal Skull.
It's I want to talk about that one.
Right. One of my all-time favorite movies, Burn After Reading.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Absolutely floored me.
He doesn't get out
much. Okay. It's another Coen brothers joint.
Okay, you know what?
What?
I'm going to cash in my man card here.
What are you?
The Notebook?
No. Grease.
Oh, wait. That's in my top 10.
I love Grease.
I love it, too.
I love the part in the end where she wakes up from a coma.
Yeah. She's
dying.
That's fan fiction.
Sandy dies in that movie.
That's fan fiction, by the way. She didn't really die.
No, she really does die.
It is a good story, though.
She does die.
We just all made your cousin's bottom list.
That's okay.
No, I'm not. I'm still in good with her because I love...
That's a great movie. I'm not saying it's not, but Sandy does die. The whole movie is her dying.
Okay, first of all, that is a fan fiction thing.
No, it's true.
That was not true.
I researched it.
It is not true.
I researched it, Craig. All right, Sean, your turn.
Quit your fake news, CNN, over there in the corner.
Sean.
Die Hard.
Oh, that's a good one.
Doesn't make my top 10, but it's a good movie.
I'm a fly in the ointment, a monkey in the wrench.
I think my all-time favorite movie ever is Papillon.
I've seen that. That's a good one. They're on the island, right? Yeah. So...
Not a Coen brothers movie.
That's three. Each of us.
Yeah. I don't know. We're just going on here. Another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Dead Poets Society.
Didn't like it. I did not like that movie.
I love it. But you know why I love it, though?
Why?
Because it's so anti-establishment.
It's just weird, though.
No, it's
to me.
Good.
I didn't like it.
It's good.
Favorite Coen brothers movie? Anybody? Anyone?
Oh
Brother Where Art Thou is way up there.
Oh, Brother. It's up so there. So good.
It's not as good as Burn After Reading. I actually enjoyed
over it already.
I enjoyed Hail Caesar too, although Lori hated it.
First of all, the word's hail.
That's what hail. I said. Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. I didn't. I couldn't I've finish got. That one.
I'm a big. Well,
thank you, Sean, for being here, taking some of the pressure off me during my illness.
I was going to mention Evil Dead too. I love Evil Dead movies.
Those are funny. Those are. Oh, I like Sharknados, by the way.
Well, those don't count.
Why not? Airplane counts.
They just don't.
They're just as funny as airplanes.
I like schlock horror. I like really bad horror movies.
Do you really?
Yeah. That's why I'm on this podcast with you.
I like the new Star Wars stuff.
Episode 105 is in the books, fellas. Oh, and Sean, by the way, you've got another podcast, don't you?
I do. Why is Cracks Radio Hour?
What was that? I couldn't hear anything.
Why is Cracks Radio Hour?
Ah! Couldn't hear anything.
What? What's it? Why is Cracks Radio Hour?
Son of a...